Call the Hamburg City Council to order for July 11th, 2023 at 1900. If all would rise for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. Now we'll open up for public comment. If there's any public comment that wants to be made in lieu of what's already on the agenda. Right. Seeing none, then we'll move on then to the agenda review and adoption. I'll look for a motion to approve the agenda as written, unless there's amendments to be made.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
So moving seconded to approve the agenda as written. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Agenda is adopted. I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
So moving seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Tim, if you would, get in the hot seat.
Is there anything you want me to start with, or what would you
just give us an idea of what you're looking to do on April 6th?
Yeah. So kind of a little backstory, so just so you have an idea. I'm a avid outdoors person, and I've been wanting to, I just found a passion for the conservation, just some outreach and leadership that just not only lacking just in the hunting and fishing communities, but just as in communities in itself, there just isn't a lot to go on. And so I used to work sportsman shows. I got to know the guy by the name of Billy Moles. And he's a guide out of Alaska. And we got to know each other pretty good. He not only guides for various outfitters, but he also started doing some filming. And so you would film with his hunters. He had a different perspective than what you see on your typical outdoor channel and stuff like that. Then those filmings really captivated me in that. But then you could also see at some point he became as he calls it, a born again Christian. And I've been wanting to put together some kind of event just to try to somehow bring sportsmen some conservation, just some leadership, just have a fun night of, you know, have an opportunity for outdoor people and such. And as I was talking with Billy here, he does public speaking. And so I proposed it to the Hamburg Sportsman's Club a few years ago. And I probably wasn't as prepared as what I should have been and expressed my idea to see what they thought of it. Nothing happened out of it. It wasn't necessarily their fault. I think between COVID and that, it just didn't materialize. And something sparked me here about a year ago, 6 months ago, to do this. So I reached out to a few people. I wanted to do it. I shared a video of what Billy does. And a lot of people just said, let's make that happen. And some of them were within the Hamburg Sportsman's Club. And they said, let's do this. This is a good way to give back to our community and that. So they kind of rallied behind me and they are fronting the cost of it, or at least the deposit that it took to get this thing going. And we started coming up with a plan of where to have it. And we decided to have it here in town at the pavilion. And they just thought this is a good opportunity for them to give back to the community through conservation, inspirational, and just teaching some leadership along with some Christian values in that. So they wanted to come up with a date of April 6th, and that's what it was. And so I think we have the hall reserved, I believe. And then we're just looking to see once if what the cost would be if they'd be willing to forego some of the costs as well in order to help the community. Our goal out of this is to not make it profitable. We are going to charge, you know, for we're going to have a meal with it. We want people to pay, have a little skin in the game just for the cover the cost of the food, but it is not in order to be a profitable event. That, and whatever profits do come in, we'll probably give it back to the community somehow, some way. But how that has been determined or what that would look like, we have not, as a committee, figured that out. We're in the process of forming an official committee too. So that was my ask, what you guys' thoughts are on it. I'm want to have questions, fire away. And that.
As far as I'm concerned, I think we should just donate the hall to these guys because they do the fish fry here. And
right.
Sounds like a pretty good thing for another thing for the community up front. I would. Yeah,
that was going to be my recommendation as well. And that sounds like a pretty neat deal. And
I it's been a little emotional event. I'll say that it's been a little number of people have just kind of, including this, when people just say, yeah, we'll support you. So I thank you from deep in bottom of my heart for this. So, and as things come out, you'll hear more about it. And if you guys like to come, be encouraged. But other than that,
Colton, any questions? But I would say, Tim, that you can plan on, because what we try to do with all of our groups in town is that with the hall or any other facility we have, we keep it open for them.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, because we know that they do really good jobs and we want to encourage them to do what they continue to do. So, yeah, just know that your April 6th event, that part shouldn't be a big deal.
Oh, hey, I thank you very much. So,
yeah,
thank you. That said, I'll let you guys on to other business and that. So, all right. You guys have a good night.
Excellent. You too.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim. And if you want to hang around and listen to the audit report here in a little bit.
No, I don't know what I think.
I'm trying to get Brad an audience.
I'll go out and see if I can find some guns.
Okay. Well played.
I make the motion to waive the hamburg.
Yeah,
thanks, Tim.
I make a motion to waive the hamburg hunting and fishing club. On the April 6th rental, hall rental on.
Second.
Seconded to give the April 6th rental fee for free to the Hamburg Huntington Fish Club. I'll end for discussion. All in favor?
Councilman Popper, aye.
Councilman Paulson, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. All right, Brad. Now you get to dazzle us with your.
Thanks for having me tonight. I am Brad Paltasek with ABDO. I'm here to present your independent audit report from your financial statements from 2022. So the independent auditor's finance, the statements themselves, which includes our independent auditor's report in there, which is our opinion as well. It's the larger copy, maybe it was in electronic copy. Our presentation is this one, and then the executive summary, which outlines a couple of the findings in more in detail in there. But I'll primarily go through the presentation packet and just give you a high level summary of what's in the two other reports and kind of the results. So the first slide of that just we talk about our independent auditor's opinion and the Minnesota Blue Compliance letter that we're required to issue. The state of Minnesota requires us to go through a series of checklists, make sure you're following specific state statutes, that as long as we're doing the financial statement audit, they want us to test these statutes as well. So we also have that letter in the financial statement report as well. So as far as our independent auditor's opinion, we go through a series of tests to issue that, and we'll look at the higher dollar amount, the higher risk areas, we'll call them, the higher dollar amounts, to make sure the taxes came in from the county, make sure they're deposited in the right spot, do a number of different tests related to that, make sure bank reconciliations are being done timely. We'll look at your internal controls, and there's a lot of internal controls. You have two people in the office, so certainly you don't have perfect internal controls, and we do issue a finding each year because of that. But and it's there because they're not perfect, and there is some risk there, and it's just really there to make sure you're aware of the risk and that you're looking at information and asking questions when something doesn't seem right. So as far as the auditor's opinion, we are issuing an unmodified or clean opinion on your financial statements. So we believe anything that's in the report is accurately reported and in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. You are required to have an independent auditor's report done or independent audit done each year by the state of Minnesota. So that's really why we're doing that on an annual basis and issued this report. So those are the two reports, the auditor's opinion letter and then the middle of Minnesota legal compliance. So, and with the Minnesota legal compliance, looking at state statute, there is one finding we're reporting there related to the statutes. And then we have two control issues related to the financial statements, which on the next slide, we talk about the preparation of the financial statements. And that's one of the internal control findings. We're getting the information from the same person that's really reviewing the financial statements. So we put in the financial statements what we're told. We don't believe anything's been withheld from us, but really this finding is here just because the financial statements are your financial statements and we only can have in there what we know through all our inquiry and tests that we do. So if there's anything out there, and we also confirm with your attorneys to see if there's any legal issues out there that haven't been aware of, and we weren't notified any of those that should be in the report either. So we're comfortable with what's in the report as far as accuracy of it. Limited segregation of duties, kind of a similar internal control issue that there's transactions that are handled by one person from beginning to end. And again, it's just here to notify you. If you see something you think should be coming in as far as revenue, or you are questioning an expense, you really don't understand why it's being paid, make sure you're asking those questions and figuring out and getting good answers on why things are being done. The one legal compliance or with state statute is the last one, unclaimed checks over 3 years old. If you do have an uncashed check or an outstanding check that's over 3 years old, you're required to pay that into the Department of Commerce after the due diligence of trying to find that person and why they haven't cashed it or reissue it and those types of things. So, and there were, I believe, at least six checks on the list that were over 3 years old. Jeremy's probably taken care of those already, but that was one of their findings.
Brad, that falls under the unclaimed property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So they it's sent to the Department of Commerce and they put it on a list and whatever, and then that person can go and claim it there. But the city is generally not supposed to keep those dollars. Then we get into any questions on the findings or anything like that so far. Then we'll get into the results of the audit. So the next slide shows your general fund balance. Your general fund is your general operating fund. So anything that's not accounted for in a debt service, special revenue, or the enterprise funds would be accounted for in the general fund. So the picture there, the chart shows your fund balance policy, and that's to keep your fund balance between no less than 35 to 50% of your following year's budget. The years presented here from 19 to 2022, you've been anywhere from 91% to ended this year with 75%. So well above that minimum amount that you want to stay above or within that range. So then we also have the budgets on the top there. So definitely staying above that minimum, your policy level. The next general fund budget to actual. So this is a high level summary of what's in the financial statements themselves. And that's just looking at revenues compared to your actuals, and your revenues were about $85,000 more than what you budgeted. A lot of that, or I guess all of that really is related to LGA. You don't budget LGA. It's kind of been unstable in the past. So there's a number of years ago where you've kind of stopped budgeting for the LGA. So when it comes in, it throws your budget off, but to the positive.
Yeah. If I could pause yeah. real quick.
Yep.
So Mitch, you're new in that. So when we go through the budgetary process, we don't include LGA in our budget because in 16, 17,
it's been a few years back.
Yeah. Somewhere in that ballpark, the state didn't give us LGA. And a lot of cities that put LGA into their operating budget got smacked. So from that point forward, we said, we're not going to include LGA into our budget. Yep. So that's why what Brad is saying, that's why we have that bump.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And it was after the fact too. Everybody adopted their budgets, put them together. It was after January 1st where the governor said, no, yep. we're not able to give it out. So it definitely was a hit to a lot of communities.
And then if we do receive it, Mitch, that money goes into our street improvement.
Right. Yep. Yep. So, so that was your overage there. Expenditures, you had $107,000 over what you had budgeted in expenditures. A lot of that was majority of that was the 2022 street project too that wasn't budgeted. So those are really your variances there. Insurance recovery, you had some insurance dollars come in from the ballpark repairs from, I think, the year before. So about $35,000 there. So overall, had a decrease in your fund balance this year, about $24,000, ending at $450,000 in reserves in the general fund. The general fund also has $56,000 of cash in it that it's not shown as revenue yet. It's from the ARPA dollars, the COVID dollars that came in this last 2 years. You haven't used that money yet. So that hasn't been shown as revenue and doesn't show up in your fund balance yet either. So that money is just sitting there until you find a available or appropriate expense, which is governmental services you can spend it on. So kind of opens it up to whatever now, but that money hasn't been spent yet either. Then we go to general fund revenues by type. So here we're looking at property taxes. The majority of your just over $500,000 of revenue comes into the general fund for property taxes, which is up slightly about 5%. Your revenue or your levy was up about 5% from the year before. So you can see that in your collections as well. It increased about 5%. All the other categories are pretty much the same as they were the prior year, but definitely the majority of your revenue is coming from property taxes in the general fund. Expenditures, majority of your expenditures are being spent in general government. This is the general operating office type stuff within the general fund. Public safety, public works, culture and rec, and then other are your other three categories. The other category includes capital, includes transfers out, those types of things. So that is also another large category or large section of this chart, because you do transfer out about $80,000 you transferred out last year. So that also makes up a significant portion of your expenses.
And the large portion of that transfer out is the LGA.
Yep. You have next slide shows your special revenue funds, and you have one special revenue fund, and that is, these are funds that you're receiving dollars, and they're either the revenue that you're receiving is either restricted or committed for a specific purpose. So you do have the cable television fund is your only special revenue fund here. So those dollars are committed for the cable TV. Had an increase in fund balance of about $2,000 this past year. And all we're ending with just under $19,000. But all we're really looking for here is, are these funds being supported by the revenues? Are you collecting enough revenues to support the expenditures? And you certainly are with the cable fund. Your debt service funds, you have two debt service funds, your 2007 GO improvement bonds and your 2018 fire truck debt. Both of these bond debt is going to be paid off in 2023. So unless you're issuing something new this year, you won't have any more debt service funds. So the debt service funds are governmental funds that support governmental type purchases, street projects, fire trucks, those types of things. You still have bonds outstanding related to the water, sewer, and storm funds. But as far as your general, your bonds that primarily are supported by property taxes will be paid off this year, 2023. your capital project funds, you have two capital project funds. One's a capital purchases and one is called the fire equipment fund. So both of these funds, you set aside money, and I believe the capital purchases fund is where you transfer dollars in for street projects and those types of things, but you also transfer money into the fire equipment fund as well. So both those funds, you're getting funds transferred in from the general fund to support them. So both those funds increased basically by the transfer in this year. There was really no activity in either one of those funds.
And just to let Mitch know too, because the only reason I'm focusing on Mitch, because Mitch is new.
Yep.
Tim and the rest of the council and Eric, they've been on the council for a while, is that we do those transfers so that way when we do need a big piece of equipment for the fire department, we have cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to go to the populace and say, we're going to raise your property taxes by 20%.
Right.
It's really a way to stabilize those increases in tax levies. So that was your governmental funds. Now we'll get into your enterprise funds, your water, sewer, and storm funds. So These charts, the top chart shows kind of a cash analysis of your receipts and disbursements by year from the last 4 years. So what we're looking for here is, are your do your receipts meet or exceed both your operating disbursements, your kind of your cash flow, your money going, dollars going out for operations, plus your debt service requirements. So in 2021, it was about a break even. In 2022, your debt service payments stayed about the same, but your operating disbursements increased quite a bit because of the water tower demo. That those dollars were in there that were kind of outside of the normal operations. But so you did have a decrease in cash this year, about $80,000 decrease in cash. So it finished, the water fund finished the year with about $78,000 in cash, down from $160,000 the year before. So, but again, in the last 2020 had a slight, receipts were slightly above your disbursements and debt. In 2019, it was a deficit. So it's something maybe you want to look at the rates at some point. In 2021, it was about a break even. So really not increasing cash at all. Maybe at some point, take a look at the rates and see if they may need to be adjusted. I think you have increased your rates anyway because of the projects and all the debt. So you have kind of hit residents pretty hard already, but something to watch. Definitely. Sewer fund, kind of same story with the sewer fund. The last 3 years prior to 2022, it's been pretty consistent. There's riprap project and a couple of projects this past year that really weren't capitalizable projects, but other additional expenses you decided to spend. Cash in the sewer fund, those ended the year about $312,000, and it has stayed pretty steady over the years at about $360,000. So down slightly in 2022, but nothing to really be concerned about. Storm fund operates pretty steady each year as far as receipts and disbursements. You have hardly any operating disbursements. Majority of your disbursements in the storm is your debt payments in the storm sewer. So your receipts are basically there covering your debt payments. Cash has stayed about $105,000 the last 3 years. So storm sewer fund is very consistent from year to year. Again, not a lot of activity in that fund. Then we have a chart on cash balances for the last 3 years. 2020 had about $1.5 million in cash and investments in the entire city. 2021, you had almost $1.7 million in cash investments. And then in 2022, you finished at $1.6 million. So again, the majority of that decreases with related to the water and sewer decreases in cash. Then the last few charts here, we compare your city to other cities of similar size around the state as well as within the county. So we took a tax rates, we look at taxes per capita, and just as far as class four cities throughout the state, you're much higher. And a lot of that is because of the population and who you're collecting those revenues from. You don't have as much population to spread those levies out. And every city does have fixed costs with their employees and with things that are going on within the city. So generally the lower population cities will have a higher taxes per capita as well as tax rates, just because they can't spread it as much as everybody else. And with this, we're looking at cities of populations up to $10,000. So definitely there's a lot of larger cities in here than you. Next one is debt per capita. So again, here we're taking a look at outstanding debt. Projects cost just as much in Hamburg as they do in other cities. So again, we don't have as much to spread, but you don't have as many projects either. So, but we like to look at trends. Are you trending upwards or are we trending downwards in your city? So from 2020, you've been paying off your debt. So this has been declining from 2020 to 22 as far as how much debt is outstanding per resident. So that's kind of what I like to focus on and have you focus on, is the trend in your city and is it going positively and negatively? And there could be reasons. If you're going to issue debt and you need to issue debt, it's probably going to go up, but there's a reason for it and you can follow that and understand it. Next chart is current expenditures per capita and capital expenditures per capita. So here, similar, not really being able to spread that out to the number of residents, but as far as current expenditures, you have been slightly higher than others in Carver County. But as far as throughout the state of Minnesota, you've been fairly consistent with what they're spending per capita for current expenditures, taking out capital, taking out debt, those types of things. And we have a chart for capital too that can fluctuate based on the what you have going on. The last two charts, we have water fund debt service coverage ratio and the debt service or the sewer fund debt service coverage ratio. And both of these did decline quite a bit this year just because we're taking a look at similar to what we're looking at the other chart. Do your operating receipts meet or exceed your disbursements plus your debt? So that's really the same same chart we're providing here, just in a little different format. So we want to see this at 100% or higher as far as your receipts are meeting 100% of those other two categories. And this past year, it went down significantly from that. In 2021, you were at 100%, 22, this is in the water. In 20, you're 136%, in 2018, you're at 110%. So in the past, you have been meeting that within the water fund. That's just with those other costs this year, you dropped down below that. Same thing with the sewer fund, with that riprap project, it really decreased that. So those one-time things, good to point out, but hopefully it's not a trend that you have to do projects like that every year. But and that does it for the results for the year. So
Council, take any questions. Any questions for Brad and his independent audit?
No.
Really? No one wants to pepper him or anything like that? I mean,
I'm good with that.
I got nothing.
Good. Well, certainly if anything comes up, have Jeremy give me a call, or you certainly give me a call as well.
Excellent.
I forgot to look today, but contract wise.
I don't know.
You should take a look at that.
Nope.
Well, Council, no questions. Brad, you got off relatively easy. Some of us, this is not our first rodeo with you in that, but in some of us it's our first. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is at the end of the day is it's independent.
Yep, for sure. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Brad.
All right, we'll move on then to old city business, water improvements, the water tower.
Okay, for the old water tower, the water improvements up by the old water tower, scheduled for the end of this week or beginning of next week. It hasn't been dialed in yet, but that's kind of the anticipated start date. For that, we are still waiting on getting another estimate for the hydrant replacement on Brad Street. We should have that Monday. When Henning's come. So just so you're aware too, we have a storm sewer line that's over by 851 William Street. It just goes through the properties in that cul-de-sac there, and it just daylights. There's an area that's caved in and there's a hole in the piping. So Henning's are coming out Monday to fix that. So like you said, the stormwater is pretty even, but this year a little bit right now, so we're going to have them dig that up, look at that spot, and then check the whole line while they're here. Mm-hmm. And Xcel Energy's got to come out and pull the power pole that's there. But so that's where we're at on those improvements.
Okay. Council, any questions?
Nope.
Then we look at the parcel 45.2, the vacant lot land use.
Just the vacant lot, if there's any.
I had a thought last night.
Okay.
In regards to that, because we've had people in town come up and have this discussion. How many chicken runs could we get set up on that lot? So the thought would be is if we're not going to use it for anything else, maybe we set up, I don't know how many chicken runs we could, but let's say we can get 10 chicken runs. Just for a round number. Why not set up 10 chicken runs and then auction off those runs for people who want to have chickens in town?
And like plots, like section it out?
Yeah, kind of like that. And then that way, because I know one of the concerns that those who wanted to have chickens in the past, they didn't want to have the intrusion, is what they said, of having the health inspector come in and inspect the chickens. Now we have them in a public place in a very singular area. which where the health inspector can do their job without being intrusive into somebody's home. Like I said, just it was just a thought that I thought about the other night, and I'm like, yeah, maybe it could be, but it doesn't have to be that usage. But I'm just thinking, I know there's a number of residents in town that would love to have chickens, and we're not necessarily opposed of having them, but we need to make sure that the health factor is addressed. And this would be a way to potentially a way to allow chickens for some in town that want to have them, and then give very free access to the health inspector to make sure that the chickens are not ill, or they're not spreading disease, or there's no issues with them.
So then would they like be like renting, like say a plot or something, and then it would be their responsibility for the coop and the maintenance and whatever? I mean, you could even maybe even look at the option if somebody wanted to, we could put some type of agreement for chickens and something even for a community garden or something like that.
Along those lines. And then whatever period we wanted to do as the council, if we wanted to go that route, whether it's a year or it's 2 years or it's a 3 year lease on that part. Again, I just wanted to throw it out, just mull it over. It's not something obviously we need to decide tonight, but you know, think about it. And then if it is something that we think that might work, then we can address it at a future council meeting.
Maybe I'll throw it out there to our insurance agent too, to what the issue there would be, if there would be any thing there.
Okay. All right.
Just an idea. And if anybody else has any other idea for that vacant lot, then obviously let staff know and we can definitely take a look at that. Part of, we could use that SHIP grant could be used for that. So move on then to parcel, unless anybody else has anything else.
I don't.
We're on then to parcel 45.0282010 minor subdivision.
So I have everything for the Trevish property now, boundary spread and description. So what they looked at proposing was doing a track one and a track two. Basically, then all his property would be track one, and then our property would be track two. But what we need to do is a minor subdivision for this. And I've had some discussion, and I think unless council has a different direction, but I would say we would be the lead and we'd be the one that would be looking to do this subdivision. This way it gets done. I'm thinking if we don't be the lead on doing the subdivision, when would it get done? If we were to have Trevish's submit for a minor subdivision of that property, because that's the information I got from our planners and the thought to the lead attorney.
What would be your cost, roughly, kind of?
I'm thinking probably just...
If you had a guesstimate.
Couple hundred bucks, I would think, with just going through what I would say, and just to get the minor subdivision that we would do that, they would still all do all the filings and all that, right? Because that was what was in the agreement. We just do the minor subdivision, get approved, which we can kind of, from what I understand, we should just be able to do with me dealing with our planners. And I would hope it wouldn't take more than a couple hours at, $80 an hour.
Right.
I mean, this way, and with talking with attorneys, we felt this was the best way to get this done.
I would do it that way then. I'd be in favor for that, just to get this ball rolling.
So with the minor subdivision, the piece of property that we are giving the Trevishes, that's still in the same ordinance that it exists today, right?
As in zoning?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Then then I would have any objection, unless the council has any objection.
We would not be changing any zoning.
Okay. Yeah, then I'd say.
Then get the ball rolling.
Good.
All right, I'm going to do that.
Okay. Move on then to community hall repairs.
All right, so we have a bunch of things. I apologize, kind of the last minute here, but Jason finally was able to get some estimates. So the first thing is, if you notice, the metal steps, you remove them. So I just got on there, removed or replaced. The thought process is they're gone. It's an extra parking spot now, unless there would be an uproar or something or a good reason to put them back. So as of now, them steps are gone. It's closed off. Along with that, Jason's willing to paint that ramp just because he said you have some old spindles, new spindles. It looks kind of, you know, ick. So he's willing to paint the ramp. But one of the things I brought to him is to paint the floorboards, that he'd have some type of grit paint or something, because, you know, that's going to be slick and we don't want liability issues. Mm-hmm. But so he has looked into that. So unless there's any objection, he's willing to go gung-ho and
paint it up.
Good. All right. So that's that. With the driveway. So we had gotten a quote for asphalt. We started there. So then we thought, well, let's see what concrete is. So as you can see in your separate packet there, we received two estimates for concrete, which came in, the lowest bid came in lower than the bituminous. So unless there's any reason not to do concrete, we've gotten two estimates, one from Row 1 Concrete for $26,615, and one from 3030 Concrete for $24,012.51. And what it'll be is 4-inch thick. If you want to pass along, it'll be the red and the blue. Is basically what we're looking to do. There's a 25x50 portion of it that the Hunt and Fish Club wants done. So that'll be their portion. So, and then we had them break it down by, you know, that portion, what kind of would be the city cost compared to what the Hunt and Fish Club wants there. As you can see, it was $7,700 and $7,800, a little more of 3030 concrete. But overall, they're about $2,600 cheaper. So I think with the retaining wall and the how it's shaped there, I think concrete will work better anyways. You'd be able to put a swale in there for water too. And I'm just thinking long term. I mean, when they're about the same price, I think concrete's a no-brainer.
Right. Call to any questions for staff.
And we did call them tonight. They said they would. We have a window now after this rental, I believe. What is it? September?
Yeah.
Now we have opening. Yeah. They said they'd be able to get it done by then.
So, well, it's concrete.
Yeah, that's it's a no-brainer. I'm missing something.
Yeah, I mean, I have the 2 minutes bid.
So if we want to do the concrete, I'd look entertain a motion for that.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to approve going with concrete for the work discussed with 3030 Concrete Incorporated for a total of $24,012.51.
Councilman Poplar, second.
So moving second to go forward with the driveway concrete with 33 concrete for $24,012.51. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye. Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Move on then to hall lights.
Yeah, so along with that, just to go back a bit, the hall back steps. So we got two bids to replace the steps back there. One from Dan Elke for $78,25.38. Another one from Mike Tracy Construction for from Dan Elke was $55.79.92. And then Mike Tracy Construction was $6,700. So I'd look for a motion, you know, to go with Dan Elke to complete the steps, the back steps for the hall on the north side of the hall.
Make a motion to go Dan Elke Construction to rebuild the back steps for the hall.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
So moved and seconded to go with Dan Elke to do the back steps. Councilman Tracy, is Mike a relation?
Yeah, it's my brother.
I would abstain then.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pulsine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, abstain.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Now we'll move on to the hall lights.
Yes, so. So with the hall lights, the Lions Club has donated 4,800, correct, Chris?
That is correct.
For the lights. So we received two bids from Extreme and Rob's, and for the hall lights that the Lions is donating for, the prices are the same, but we also have two other things that we need to get taken care of that Jason wants in the shop, is to add 8-foot strip with LED lamps, so two new lights down in the shop because it's so dungeonsy down there. I mean, and then also at the bar, we're figuring for $800 while they're there compared to Rob's, which was $1,500, we might as well have the bar lights done too.
The bar lights.
Yes, for the hall. So then that way that gets there. So really kind of what we're looking at is three things here. The lights and receptacle for air compressor, the bar lights, and then the install the LED fixtures in the main seating area for the hall. I mean, my recommendation would be to go with Extreme. That way you have one person coming in, getting it all done, and plus them three items that we would be looking to do. They're about $1,700 cheaper.
Council, any questions? As I look for a motion to go with the Extreme Electric bid for the scope of work that the staff just articulated.
Make a motion to go with Extreme Electrical Services for the bid for the electrical projects proposed at this Hamburg City Hall.
Councilman Tracy, second.
So moved second to move forward with Extreme Electrical's bid for the items articulated by city staff. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pulsine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes.
And also, we have another one in here for some electrical work that we've talked about in the past meeting that's outside on the hall that's in some conduit. I mean, I showed the pictures at the last meeting how the conduit's almost rotted out. You know? So what we wanted to do is reroute that inside and get that done before we do the driveway back there. So we did get two bids. Rob's came in at $2,650 and Extreme came in at $2,250. So basically what that's doing is that wiring that's running outside of the conduit, move that inside to the building, run it inside the building.
Council, any questions for staff? Does staff have a recommendation?
Extreme's cheaper and they're going to be here for the lights too. So my recommendation would be to go with, I don't see no reason not to go with Extreme being $400 cheaper almost.
Yeah. Councilman Tracy, I'll make a motion to go with Extreme Electrical for $2,250.
Motion made and seconded to award Extreme Electrical the bid for the $2,250 for the outside work. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pulsine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes.
All right, before we move on, I got two other things that Jason got bids for it. We got bids for the fence on our property in Trebuchet there, put that fence there. The first thing I want to ask is, next time I run into Steve or see Steve out, if I stop and talk to him, your thoughts on putting a fence on property line? Or do you want to keep it off the property line? I don't have a problem talking to Steve and ask him, hey, do you have any issues if we put something in writing that allowing us to put that fence right on the property, right up to the property line?
Is there a guideline that
our ordinance is,
right,
you put the good side to, right, you're supposed to go to the neighbor,
right,
and then the only other stipulation we have is that the neighbor has to agree to it.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if there was you put a shed or a building up, it has to be so many feet away from the property line. I didn't know if that
means a fence setback.
Ours is kind of big, instead it just has to be entirely upon your property. Okay. Unless the neighbor agrees in writing to put it on the property. Okay. Line.
Then if that's the case, I'd make sure we know where the exact property line is. Okay. I'd put the good side towards him and put it on the property line.
So I'll talk to him about that, see if that's an option. But Jason did get a bid from Dan Elke, came in at $78.25. And the bid from Mike Tracy was $93.90.
Council, any questions for staff?
Nope, nothing here.
And this was all, pretty much maintenance free and going to withhold island snow next to it. And
yep.
Okay.
Yep. It'll be treated post, and then the rest of it'll be, treks.
Okay. But because I know that was one thing we talked about is piling snow there. We don't want, all of a sudden, want to knock a bunch of this over and we spend $6,000 again next year on a new fence.
It's got
to
be robust.
Right.
Yep.
So.
I make a motion to accept Dan Ulfke's proposal for the fence on the property line for $78.25.38.
Second.
So moving seconded to approve Dan Ulfke's bid for the fence for $78.25.38. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye. Abstain.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Anything else there?
One last thing. You'll see job number two there under Dan LP2. So if you recall, last year we had all the ice build up here and we had a problem on the other side on the east end of the hall here that took out that piping for the heater. And so Jason had talked to a few people about putting up type of like a snow stop or what on there to kind of protect that from happening again. Because that was quite a big bill for us to get the ice off the building and then repair that. So Dan had did that. He'd do 100 foot of snow V stop on the east side of the hall. There, his bid came in at $889.49. And Mike Tracy's bid was $1,050.
Council, any questions for staff?
If we have another winter like last one, we'd be happy we did it. So, Councilman Paulzine, make a motion to accept Dan Olke's bid for $889.49 for snow stop on fire hall.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
So we were seconded to approve Dan Olke's bid of $889.49 for the snow stop at the fire hall. Any further discussion? Other.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, abstain.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Anything else for repairs?
We're done.
Thank God. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Move on to Night to Unite, formerly known as National Night Out.
So, only thing I got is I've had a few people, inquiring, trying to promote the event. So I put on the back page there a flyer that I can give to people that are interested in distributing and getting it out to the public to get good attendance or what. So I just want council's approval. If they're okay with what I've put together, that's what we'll distribute. If you have anything you want to add, change, delete, let me know.
Council, any thoughts on that?
I think it looks good.
Only thing I would add is, as I emailed you earlier, would be that we just make note that while supplies last, I don't want anybody showing up at 7:15 and we don't have no money hot dogs
right.
or cookies. You know, there's been years where we've had 100 hot dogs at 7:15, and there's been years we have not had 100 hot dogs at 7:15. So I just want to to get that out there in front of people to like, get them to understand. All right. If there's no further questions, I'll move on then to new business. Apparently now our public works guy needs an iPad.
Yeah, so Jason's looking to would like an iPad or even just a Samsung tablet. And his thought process is it just would aid him in doing day-to-day rounds and his reports, something he could keep, you know, in the truck. And then also we have to do this lead and copper program. And so he's going to be going into everyone's house. And with having a tablet, he'll be able to just take the pictures, keep it on the tablet. He wants one where he can write on it, where he could write the address in. So we have to document going to everyone's house or try to. If we don't get in or we can't confirm, we have to put it as that address that's not compliant. And this all has to be done by next fall, I think. So we have to have that inventory of the pipe coming in as if what it is. Is it plastic, lead, galvanized, copper? You know, it's, and there's funding out there, which we've kind of started an application for that, hey, Jason and Kurt. So hopefully we can get some assistance to aid in some of these costs. But so that's going to be a big on-taking, and Jason just thought it'd be nice to have a tablet for that, doing rounds, reports, those things when he's out and about. And he just thought now would be a good time to buy it with it. Amazon days.
It's Prime Day.
Or Prime Days.
What's the cost approximately?
Well, $400.
Yeah, then tell him to get it.
Yeah, and I figure we can just do it within budget through the water and sewer fund. I mean, that's what it's mainly going to be used for, rounds and
right.
Yeah.
This program.
Well, you got one day. Get her ordered tomorrow.
Yeah. He's probably already got it picked out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Then QuickBooks program.
Okay. So I use QuickBooks for all our financial. They've stopped supporting it on the say you buy the disc program, that's what I'm going to say, right? So that's what we have, like 2020, right? So we're even a few years behind anyways, but and everything's going online.
Long days.
Every day program. And then they're charging you a monthly fee. I don't know what else we can do because it would be just a heck of a lot of work to start a new program. I mean, I put a lot of time into that program and geared it towards, you know, the city's finances and geared it towards audit. So it matches the audit to make life easy. So it's going to be about $500 a year, $510 a year.
What was it previously?
Well, we paid $700 for the program and I would use it until they didn't support it.
Yeah, they'll buy another one.
It works. I mean,
right.
And everything's going cloud-based or whatever. You can't escape that.
It's just everything's going in that. It's a moneymaker.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yep.
Yeah, just get what you need to get.
And I don't know if there's another program out there that you can buy that's just kind of a freelance program.
If you're comfortable and you understand this program, then I mean, it's part of the times changing.
That's right. So. I agree.
I mean, my concept is when I leave, you can change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I do all the work to change everything.
Wow. And it's
a lot of setup.
Yeah. And I think the auditors, they're comfortable with QuickBooks.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to go away from it. So unless there's a management open council, we'll just go ahead and do a licensing fee and do that route.
Is what it is.
All right. So any other business before we move on to the next item? Then what we'll do is I'll look for a motion to close the meeting for the purpose of an employee evaluation, unless Jed, you want to have it open?
Doesn't matter. I don't.
It's up to you.
No, I don't have to have it closed.
You don't have to have it closed? Okay, we'll move on then.
Wait, I just have a question. When you close the meeting, does the audio go off?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Close the meeting then.
Okay.
Okay. So I need a motion to close the meeting for the 6-month employee evaluation.
Make a motion to close the meeting for the 6-month employee evaluation.
Councilman Tracy, second.
It's moving second to close the council meeting for July 11th, 2023 for the 6-month employee evaluation. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. We are now closed at 19:57. Look for a motion to reopen the city council meeting for July 11, 2023.
Make a motion to reopen the July 11, 2023 Hamburg City Council meeting.
Councilman Poplar, second.
Moving second to reopen the July 11, 2023 Hamburg City Council. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. We are reopened at 2011. So just to recap, we did close the meeting for a 6-month employee evaluation of our deputy clerk. We had a good conversation on that. Is there any action that anyone wants to make out of that closed meeting?
Councilman Tracy, I move to increase pay for Jan by $1 as discussed upon employment and upon a successful 6-month review.
Councilman Poplar, second.
So moved and seconded to give Jan a $1 increase in her hourly wage. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. We'll now move on then to city council reports. Councilman Paulzine.
I guess I really don't have much. Pretty quiet on my end of town, so no traffic going through.
As the dog,
I haven't been informed in a couple of weeks about it.
I haven't heard anything more.
It's the last I heard about it was probably right before they closed the road down. Okay. That was about it. So I'm guessing
we did end up calling the CSO.
Yeah,
and they came into town and talked to the owners. From what we understand, is the owners of the dog have said, quote, dog's dead to me. And then I know there's another person just outside of town that puts food out, so I don't
know. Right.
Then it wanders, whatever, and then ends up back there. So we were put in a predicament of what do we do when it seems like the homeowners don't want to take responsibility for the dog. So what the CSO is looking is to see if they can find an opening in, you know, a shelter or someone to adopt it.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at now. I haven't heard nothing.
Yeah, I guess we haven't seen it, but I mean, okay. It's a tough deal because I mean, you get a dog, it's kind of your responsibility. Just because you don't want it anymore doesn't mean you just let it go, Yeah. Ravage and run around, and it's not the dog's fault. But then again, right. What happens if it were to bite a city employee or a kid? Right. I mean, it's also can't be a burden on the city either. So it's a tough thing to deal with. But other than that, I guess I don't have anything for streets.
Councilman Poplar.
Not the park issue, but the traffic on Jacob Street and the amount of speeders or complaints of people coming off the gravels into Jacob. I've received several, and why the police or law enforcement aren't sitting somewhere
on Jacob.
On Jacob.
Anywhere specific? One or
just on both ends. Both ends.
I kind of heard. I mean, there's that 30 mile an hour sign that warns you when you're coming in.
Yeah, on both ends. So if they are speeding, they should just give it to them and be done, because there is plenty of ample. I've had several complaints of speeding and Jacob and that, missing stop signs and
that sign coming in on whichever way I'm turned around here, but coming in down here that's kind of blocked by
the tree.
The trees. Do we have any right to, or is that completely?
Well, I guess it's not our property, is it? That's that farmhouse
right away. So
okay, or if it's on right away, we could probably.
It's not an excuse, but it kind of comes in awesome. Boom!
It's not to make an excuse for somebody else.
Exactly.
Well, kind of what happened there is the understanding was there. We were going to put it there. We were going to trim the trees back, but instead they decided to move.
Oh yeah, that's changed ownership. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
we can talk to the new owners about moving it inwards in town more.
Right.
Yeah, that or just.
Or I mean, I would just see if we have a right of way there. I mean,
yeah,
when take a guy long to go cut some trees around it. You know, one early morning.
Big branch, I think.
Or one big branch, just go cut what we have to get around it. So that way, there is no excuse in case people do pull over.
Right.
And I know I have had some complaints to some people. Now you bring it up on just how washboardy that road is. Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do. It's so dry. Unless they're going to pack it with a water truck for 3 weeks straight. They can't grade it. So
exactly.
It's just going to be below sand. So as of right now, it's. Just the way it is.
Yeah, just
which the washboards are probably deterring people from going fast anyways.
Yeah. Oh. Or take the Mark detour.
Or take another.
Or listen to the sign that says closed to through traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else, Councilman?
I'll do it.
Councilman Tracy.
I don't have anything water sewer related, but I'm going to not to step on Councilman Polzine's toes here, but he doesn't have to take this street. But that. The cul-de-sac where I turn in there, I don't know if we do anything for like potholes. There's two pretty good sized potholes right there that, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but kind of like every time I find myself kind of going between those potholes and you would never know it's not a through street. So there's only about five people that are aware of them. They're pretty deep.
So where are they?
They're right. You know, I don't know. They're out in the lanes of traffic and it's right on that seam. So you kind of got the gutter goes through. That street, you know, you turn on and the concrete gutter kind of goes through and then you're on William Street.
Sorry, paint a picture. Where are we at?
I'm sorry.
Williams.
Sorry. I'm saying cul-de-sac. Like everybody knows my cul-de-sac. So
William Street.
Yes. Right where right where William connects.
That's what I
assume. You just want the road.
Yeah.
Right in front of
Miles.
Just my house.
That came out all wrong.
Yeah. Just to let you know, Councilman Tracy, we cannot resurface your driveway.
You clearly misunderstood me.
I'll be honest, I think I've been down that road.
Yeah, just something to look at. That Miller fact. Yeah, it's not a huge deal, but that's all I think. Does anybody have an update on that road going out?
Okay, what we're looking at is they're hoping to pave next week and then the week after that open. So it's another week and a half.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard something else. I read that it's, like you said, paved next week, but then that doesn't mean it's going to open the week after that because they still have to do shouldering and blading, and that could take another week and a half on top of that to settle. So it could be up until the end of the month.
I can say is the communication has been disappointing.
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
I have reached out. Fire chief has reached out.
Mm-hmm.
Jason has reached out. Brad has stopped. I mean, numerous people. And I've asked for weekly updates and haven't been getting it. And the communication has not been the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But I will try to pursue. But Jason's and talked to the foreman today and basically told him they hope to pave next week.
Right.
And then they said with the possibility of opening next week, but depending on what you said,
right,
they
should
have to do the shoulders, yada yada. So,
and if they're going to pave the shouldering or if they're going to gravel them or set them up, and it all depends on what they want to do, how long. Maybe they'll get pulled away again. But, anyways, actually, it's kind of funny you bring that up. I also heard that now, speaking on streets, I should have just brought this up. but that it's possible for next year that this road will be done. It's in the talks to have this road widened out. I don't know how, but if that is a case, then we should definitely keep it on radar of how big of a boo-boo this one is.
Oh, right.
Because there's a drainage ditch to move here. I mean, you have right away to probably buy, but that I know that's some of the people I've talked to, that talked to the Carver County commissioners and stuff, that it's definitely a possibility since they've fixed this road leaving town and they just redid the road by the church that they would potentially widen this one out as well going forward. Since this one is starting to, you can feel it when you drive on it, it's pulling apart. But anyways, so something to think about for next year. It's like, okay.
We'll just let them know when our citywide garage sales is and they can do it right in the middle of that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
You don't want to tread on anybody else's area. You don't want to talk about parks or anything like that. Maybe buildings. You know, since Jessica's not here, you can talk about that.
I'm good.
All right. Well, just want to make sure. You know, I don't want to leave you out of anything like that. Or anything that I need to be. You want to sit up here?
Nope. Go on. Take it away. You're doing fantastic.
So we'll get another newsletter out this week. We'll definitely be highlighting the Night to Unite or whatever they call National Night Out now and things like that. Just to let everybody know that the first two weekends in August, we'll have a lot of people in town because the baseball club is hosting the regions this year. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you see a lot of vehicles coming to the park, that's what they're coming to the park for. And that, and so hopefully the project out here is taken care of because that way nobody has to realize how they have to detour to get to our park.
Right.
And that as well. But other than that, that's all I have.
Okay.
So with that, unless there's any other business, I look for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn the July 11th, 2023 City Council meeting.
Second.
So moved and seconded to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for July 11th, 2023 is adjourned at 2022.